talking about joy today, and of course it being Christmas, let's just jump right in and go to the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, and I'll kind of read this in two different parts today. And this is a very special story to me. It's a very special part of the Bible to me. I've shared this in the at least once, maybe twice in the past couple of weeks. This is not only something, you know, we hear this part preached during the Christmas season a lot, but what really makes it neat to me is for the past 40, I'm going to say I can remember back to when I was three, maybe four, so 39 or 40 years, every single Christmas Eve, I have heard my grandfather recite the Christmas story out of Luke chapter 2 from memory. And he sits in his chair and he sits back and you know, he enjoys doing it and he enjoys us liking it. And and as well we should, you know, he's a man of God, he's my mentor, you know, he's everything to me. But to watch this man, and you know what's really neat, it's not so much that he can recite this story from memory that really grabs me, it's the fact that he has spent almost 90 years investing the Word of God into his heart, and it can just pour out of him just like that. And so it's a really, really cool experience for me. So I'm not going to recite it from memory. I feel like God has challenged me to learn that and to do that, and so maybe someday I can do that. But I am going to share it, and I'm going to start by sharing kind of a little bit of this first half, starting in verse 8. And it says this, "And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified." Verse 10, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is the Messiah, the Lord.'" Verse 12, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" This is an amazing story. I mean, it really is. You think about this, and once again, this is a story that, you know, it is told. I mean, this story is being spoke throughout the world this morning. And if not this morning, at some particular point in time in these past few weeks, this story has been shared. And it's an amazing story. We hear this story every year, and it's just a story that makes you smile. I mean, it really is. I mean, talking about a baby being born. Look at old Rick up here holding, you know. Babies make you smile. They just do. I mean, they bring life. They bring joy. And that's what this is talking about, the birth of this amazing child. And so it just brings this joy. But have you ever really thought about how the shepherds felt at that moment, at this moment right here? I mean, how that they actually felt when this all, think about it, standing out in a field, doing their jobs, minding their own business, and wham, just out of nowhere, here comes this light and this angel, and this, and I'll just be honest, it freaks them out. How do I know this? Because the Bible says they were terrified. They were afraid. Old King James says, sore afraid. I mean, it was deep. Their fear was really inside. And you know, I would be too. And you would be too. If you're just minding your own business and boom, here comes this angel. I don't care what they had to say. There would be some rumbling going on inside. Okay, so you think about this. But then it all changes and the angel's like, whoa. Just hold on a minute. You know, don't be afraid because I've got something to tell you that will put a smile on your face. The Bible says to bring you great joy. Today you have been given the gift of joy, and not just joy, and I want you to grab this morning because I'm going to talk about this for just a few minutes, not just joy, but the Bible says great joy, and I'm sure up until this point throughout history, people had reasons to smile. I mean, I know that they did. They had things that made them happy, you know, things that made them want them to dance and shout, and things that honestly just caused them to experience joy. You can read the Bible all through the New Testament, and there were times, you know, of joy, and I'm sure just in people's everyday life, okay, that people had a reason to experience joy. But not until now had anyone ever had the opportunity to experience great joy. Great joy. That this wasn't ordinary. It was big, life-changing, and consuming. I want to give you the definition of joy this morning, and it's actually going to, I'm going to give this to you in two parts. The first part of the definition of joy, we'll pop this up here for you, intense and especially ecstatic or exultant happiness. Now read that again. Intense, okay? And especially ecstatic or exultant happiness. Sounds like a pretty fun feeling to me. I mean, it does. It sounds like something that would, I mean, seriously. I mean, everyone likes to be that happy. I mean, we don't want to live our life, you know, just all down in the dumps all the time. I mean, everyone wants to experience and receive that kind of joy. God had just sent a gift so awesome. But if this gift is so awesome, why do so many people, I'm just going to be real, those of you that know me know that I just am, why do so many people struggle with experiencing this gift? If God sent Jesus to be the gift of this great joy, and listen, I'm talking to Christians right now. Why is it that when we receive this awesome gift, why is it that Christians, and you know, sometimes we struggle with receiving and experiencing this part of the gift? Today, I want to look at something that will help us with this gift. And first of all, there's joy and then there's great joy, okay? So I want to define those two. I want to separate those two, joy and great joy. You can receive joy from anything that the world has to offer. I don't care what it is. You can find joy in it. You can find something. And when I say that, okay, we're talking about worldly, earthly joy. I'm talking about something that makes you smile. And it could be, your favorite. I mean, some of you are going to go home today and you're going to sit in front of the TV and the red and white's coming on. And you're going to sit down in front of the good old Kansas City Chiefs and you're going to smile and you're going to experience joy. And if they win, you're really going to experience joy. Now, if they lose, the joy is gone. I'm being honest and you know that I am. But really, you could find joy in that. You could find joy. You know what I find joy in? In about 30 days, I know that it will be time for me to start attempting to catch white bass. That makes me smile. It really does. I find joy in that. A whole lot of joy. I enjoy it. Maybe listening to your favorite song. You know, you're driving down the road, and I mean, seriously, and maybe your mind's just kind of not all there, and then all of a sudden that song pops on the radio, and instantly you get this smile on your face, and you start experiencing this feeling, and it's great, okay? But think about this, and that's all good. Listen, I'm not saying don't experience those things, because I do, and I love it, but think about this. Your team doesn't play year-round. The white bass don't run year-round. And that song does come to an end. Are you following me for just a second? Once again, I'm not saying don't enjoy these things because I enjoy them, but they all end. All these things have a time of emptiness. All of these things and everything that the world has to offer will produce joy that eventually fades. It eventually will fade. But great joy, and that's a different story. See, this is that intense, ecstatic joy and happiness. This is extraordinary. This is a joy that never fades. It never goes away. This is a joy that regardless of our circumstances or problems is always there. The Bible describes this great joy as joy unspeakable or indescribable, awesome, amazing. I have no reason for feeling joy, but for some reason, it's their joy. And a lot of you can relate to that. You know, there's been times in your life, there's been times in my life where life's just not going really well, and I really have no reason to smile. I mean, honestly, and it could be multiple things. But for some reason, inside of me, there is this feeling that gives me this joy that I cannot describe. And that reason is Jesus. Because it is great joy. And this is joy that comes from this gift. And it is the joy that you can have whether life is great or whether life is not. And I'll kind of prove it to you. I'm going to flip over to 1 Peter really quickly, kind of divert from the you know, Christmas story thing and read a couple verses to you. In verse 8 and 9, it says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Okay, no, we're not physically seeing Christ, but when you accept Christ, you love him. You got this. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible, means you can't describe it, and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of souls. When we accept Jesus, when you accept Christ as your personal Savior, this gift of great joy comes with it. And it, listen, it doesn't matter what you're going through, you always have this gift. It's not a gift that is just wrapped and put under a tree for 25 days a year. This is a gift that we have every single day, every moment, all the time. It never goes anywhere. So you know it doesn't say you're filled with inexpressible and glorious joy when life is going great. Imagine for a second that you're at this place in life. You've got it all planned out. I mean, your life is all planned out. Things are going the way you want, and things are, you know, it's just great. Life is good. There's no big shakeups. It's smooth. And then, bam. I mean, out of nowhere, you know, there's this drastic change that occurs. It could be a job loss. It could be a home loss. It could be financial loss. It could be anything. It could even be some kind of a gain that causes the disruption here. Just a little bit. I've told this story to several people, and this is the story that really came to mind when I was thinking of this situation. I was several thousand miles away in a Central American country, sitting in a very small, what was supposed to be, I don't know, this little bungalow room in the middle of Managua, Nicaragua. And we were down there leading trips. This was a particularly long trip. We were gone for like 18 days or something like that. We had two different teams that came in over this particular time. And I still had about 5 days or so left in the second trip. So the first team would come in and left. The second team was there, and we were going. And things were really great. And my wife and I would talk about every morning. It was the best time for us to talk because down there the phone lines were kind of crazy. Remember the old party lines? You know, it's just nuts. Well, down there, it's kind of the same thing, you know, and it was just, if people were on it, you might not get out, and so that's usually the time you could get on, so we would talk. So I got my call that morning, and we were just fixing to have devotion time out in the middle of this really nice place in this area, and I mean, life was good. Listen, people, I had my life planned out. I had four wonderful kids, and things were just wonderful and glorious, and you know, life, my ministry was good, my family was good, my job was really good, I enjoyed what I was doing, and I'm one, and my wife will tell you, I had everything planned. I knew when my last kid was going to graduate, I knew how old I was going to be, I knew the day that I could start playing more golf and it would be okay, and all the catching white bass, you know, those, you guys remember those 5-night-a-week trips? That's what I was looking forward to. I had it all planned out, you know, and all this stuff going on. And then I get this phone call. And bam. And it was, I was speechless. You know, my wife said, baby, we're gonna have another baby. What do you say? I kind of got to the place where that wasn't going to happen. In fact, we didn't think it could happen medically, physically. Lacey, you know, just going through some things. So anyways, I come out of the room and I'm bawling. And listen, people, when I'm talking bawling, I'm bawling. I mean, I am just sobbing, crying. And don't get me wrong, it wasn't necessarily bad tears. It was just those wham tears, okay? The big drastic thing just happened, okay? And I'll be honest, the great joy wasn't exactly what I was feeling at that particular point in time. So I walk out and I walk down, and the devotions were over with, and Buddy kind of meets me halfway because he sees I'm distraught. I was down there with Pastor Buddy Boyd, and he walks up and he says, "Dude, what is wrong?" And I'm just sobbing. I mean, snot slinging sobbing. I said, "Dude, Lacey's pregnant." I was expecting some compassion. He was on the ground instantly roaring, laughing. I'm like, "Dude, what are you doing? This is serious." And so anyways, I grab a hold of it. We go through the rest of the trip. You know, I'm kind of gripping this whole idea, and I'm thinking, all right, you know, I can handle this, and things are great. And so I started getting that great joy back, and things were good. And it wasn't too long, you know, after we got home, they wanted to do an ultrasound really, really quick because of some of Lacey's medical issues. And so I think it was that next week, if I'm not mistaken. And so we go up there, and we sit down, and I'm smiling, and I'm like, I'm going to be a daddy again, and I can handle it. And that lady puts that thing on her belly, and just as plain as day, here's two little peanuts on the screen. Wham! Suddenly, the great joy was gone, and so was almost my consciousness. No joke, I literally started to fall out of the chair, and the nurse come over and grabbed me. She says, honey, are you okay? Serious, as honest as I'm standing up here, she said, do you need some Valium? I promise. And I said, no, I don't need no Valium. I'm looking at two kids. And so now listen to me. I'm being honest. I'm telling this as honest as I could be. I sit there in that chair looking at that screen and this overwhelming sense of God's blessing and the fact that he has a sense of humor came over me. And I remember walking out to the car with my wife and looking at her and us just going, wow. And can I tell you that there's not a day that goes by from my oldest child to my youngest child and now my grandsons that I don't have great joy. Even when I mess up, even when they mess up, even when life goes a little bit crooked, I got it. It is unspeakable, inexpressible. It is that amazing. I had great joy. I want you to think really quickly about Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was comfortable living in a small town. Life was probably okay. Nothing drastic going on, just living a smooth life, and then bam. An angel appeared and told her that she was going to have a baby. And not just any baby, but a God's son baby. And Mary hadn't done the necessary things that every other person in this life has had to do to have a baby. Now think about this, okay? I'm keeping it as PG rated as possible. How do you think she felt? Because if we go back into chapter 1 of Luke, and I just want to look at a couple verses really quickly, starting in verse 30, it says this, but the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you're to call him Jesus, and he will be great and will be called the Son of God, the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end. Now, one thing that I want you to gather here really quickly is that Mary was obviously living in a way that pleased God. I mean, this verse said that she had found favor with God. If you back up a couple verses in verse 28, it says, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you, okay? So her life pleased God, but God did not, listen, now I want you to catch this. God did not necessarily reward her with an easy life. Even though her life was good and she was in the favor of God, this was one of those wham moments. This was one of those disruptive moments that any of us would have. She was going to have a baby. She wasn't married. How could she take care of it? How could she provide for it? How could they even go public with this? And Mary had many things that she could have been worried about and been upset about and even felt that way. And Mary was troubled, there's no question, for sure. And she did have questions, as you see, you know, a little bit here. But even in the midst of those challenges of life, look at her response in verse 38. Mary says this, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me according to your word. May it be to me according to your word.
in the middle of that wham moment. And she had a reason to experience and live in great joy, even in the middle of life's unexpected turns and challenges. And Mary rejoiced, because not too long after that, you see Mary's song, and I'll read a part of that to you. This is after the wham moment, okay, and this is how we know that she was full of great joy. In verse 46, it says, "And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name." Great lesson. Even though Mary didn't understand everything that was happening in her life, and even though it was going to be hard, she trusted God. And she found a reason to rejoice and live in great joy. And so can we. So can we. This gift of joy found through Jesus, it's a gift that we all can. It's truly as amazing as it sounds. Enjoy life. Enjoy those moments on a creek bank. Enjoy those moments in a tree stand. Enjoy those moments shopping and hanging out with friends. Enjoy those moments in a kitchen making some of the best breakfast that we've eaten. Enjoy those moments playing music like you are passionate about playing music. Enjoy all the things that make you smile. You know, enjoy it. Enjoy it. Let it make you smile. But don't let that be the basis of your joy. Because their winning team will never produce a joy that gets us through our toughest times. The ups and downs of life, that's only found through Jesus. Now I want to give you the second part of this definition of joy. If you remember the first part, intense and especially ecstatic or exultant happiness. That's what we experience. The second part is the expression or manifestation of such. Now, this is a dictionary definition of joy. Okay? This is also a biblical definition, but this comes from a dictionary. We are to receive it, and then we're to express it and give it away. And it is not true joy by definition of Webster and God's Word until we do just that. The expression of manifestation of such. Isn't that cool? Because it goes right along with this whole thing out of Acts 20:35. It is more blessed to what? Give than to receive. Yes, we're to receive this. Yes, you do receive it when you see Christ. You receive this joy unspeakable. But to fit the bill and to fit the definition, it means we have to give it away. You have to give it away. Now I want to go back and finish our story really quickly about the shepherds and just kind of end with this in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 15. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Verse 17. Now listen to this. When they had seen him, when they had experienced this gift, when they had placed their eyes on this gift that was promised to them and everyone else, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. They went and experienced it for themselves. And then they turned around and shared it so others could experience the same thing. Man, that's pretty cool. And truly, to be givers of great joy, we have to be giving it away all the time. And of course, it's easy to give this gift when life is great. We all know that. But the true greatness of the gift is actually shown when it is given during the not-so-good times. And here's the deal. You will give the gift of something. All of us will. I will, you will. We will give the gift of something. We can choose the gift of hee-haw. Remember that old
gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Hey, I grew up in the hee-haw days.
Jarrett and I used to sing that all the time when we was kids. You guys probably remember us running around. One of us would sing it, and Jarrett used to go, oh! Of course, I can't do it like Jarrett can, you know, but yeah, wow. Or we can give the gift of great joy. Today, this gift is yours for the receiving. And this morning, if your life is in a place where it's just been one bump after another, you stand in this season that's supposed to make you smile, and you're doing everything you can to do it, or you're manufacturing a fake one. One problem after another. Maybe you've searched for joy in many different places only to find that that joy runs out, that it just goes away. Today, you can receive great joy. And you can receive that through Jesus. Maybe today you've received this gift only to feel like it's been ripped from you by tragedy or by sickness or worry or depression or financial struggles. And I want to encourage you today that that joy is still there. That gift that you received of great joy when you received Christ is still there, even in the middle of your struggles, even in the middle of the trials and the things that go on in this life. It's still there. Now, in these cases, we have to trust in it. You have to have faith and believe in it. You have to walk in it. You have to live in it and then do the best that you can to give it away. And that goes for all of us. All of us. And I pray over these past few months that through Project 125, it has opened our eyes to so many amazing things. Impacting one life a day for 25 days. It got us to seeing and looking for opportunities to share Jesus in some amazing ways, to share this gift. And I believe there are so many people around us that are reaching out for hope. They're still reaching out for wisdom and love and this joy that we're talking about this morning right here in this community. Who better to share these gifts with them than you? I mean, really, who better? God may have put you in that situation, you in that place. It doesn't take a lot of money. It just takes an open heart, open eyes, and a desire to impact a person's life for Jesus. God sent His Son to impact our lives, and in turn, we are to take this gift and share it in a way that gives Him the chance to impact somebody else's. And this just isn't about Christmas. This is about every day. We have a reason to be filled with great joy today, and that's worth celebrating. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. God, thank you so much for this day. And God, thank you for this spirit of joy, this gift of joy that we feel today. And God, it's been fun. I have fun every time we come in here. But God, in reality today, I also know this. I know that there's probably somebody here that is struggling to experience this joy, to find joy in anything. God, I pray that you would just take a moment, because you know who that might be, for whatever reason. And I pray, God, that just a special presence in their life. That somehow because of that presence, right now they find a reason to smile. If not on the outside, God, for sure on the inside. In Jesus' name, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you're just struggling. I just be honest, in life, the craziness of life, and maybe this great joy is a joy that you've yet to experience or give a try. And when I say this morning, I promise you that this isn't something that will fix necessarily all your external problems. There'll still be struggles. There'll still be trials. There'll still be temptations. And unfortunately, you will still mess up and you will still make mistakes. But what this does mean is that it's not just joy that's in your life that's coming from something that will fade away. This is a great joy that you will have in every one of those situations that will help you through every one of those times when it is tough, when it is hard, and when life is just honestly just... And if that's you this morning and you've just been searching for something and everything you're searching for just comes up empty, but this is, you just, like, man, Pastor Ron, maybe I just need to do this. If that's you this morning, would you just wave at me really quick? I see that. Anybody else? Just be honest. I'm not going to make you do nothing weird, I promise. Is it anybody else? Anybody else? Just be real with God this morning. If that's you, whether you raised your hand or whether you didn't, you know that you should have. Can you just be real with Him today in your words, in your voice, from your heart? I can stand up here and I can shout out a prayer for you to pray, but man, what's real is what comes from inside of you. Because it's your life, it's your struggles, and you know what's going on there. So just pour that out for just a second. With nobody looking around this morning, and I mean this very reverently, nobody. And the only reason I do this is just because I believe that there's, you know, prayer works. I believe it. And so I just want to know who to pray for. If you're here today, you know Christ and all that, and but there's just stuff in life right now that's just making it real hard to feel this joy. Would you just wave at me really quick? Thanks for being honest. Anybody else? It's just an opportunity. Anybody else? I see them all. Anybody? There's several hands. I just want to pray for you and just really quickly. And I just want to encourage you that joy is still there, I promise. When you have experienced the gift of Christ, that gift of joy, that gift of great joy never goes away. And so I challenge you this morning, if that's you, then I challenge you to fight for it, to fight through the struggles, to fight through the issues, to fight through the problems, to fight through those feelings and get to the core of where you know that is, and that's Jesus. God, this morning, I'm thankful for the greatest gift that has ever been given. God, I know that we say that a lot, but God, that's the truth. It's not just some statement. It is the truth. The gift of Christ is life-changing. It is world-changing when we allow it to be. And part of this gift is this great joy. You tell us right there what we read this morning, that this gift will give great joy. God, there are people here this morning that know you and love you and serve you, God, that are fighting to feel this and experience this intense happiness, this unspeakable, indescribable, amazing feeling, even in the middle of their storms, even in the middle of situations. God, you see their hands, but most importantly, you see their hearts. And so, God, I pray right now, and I believe right now, that as you speak into their life, that you encourage them, that you lift them up, that they feel your love and compassion. And God, they start to just even feel just a little bit of this awesome gift. And God, for all of us here today, just as the shepherds were able to experience this for themselves, it did not stop at that manger. They left that place with that gift for the purpose of sharing that gift with somebody else. And God, that's what we're to do as well. The things that we experience from this gift, God, we're not to be selfish with. So I pray for continued opportunities. God, I know Project 125 is coming to an end. But this whole thought of being more blessed to give than to receive should never come to an end. I pray that we've learned some things over these past 4 weeks, that we've developed some new habits,
God, whether it's hope or wisdom or love or joy or compassion, God, we could go on and on, whatever it is. God, may we truly have our eyes and our hearts open for opportunities to share it and to give it away. And I believe that when we do that, that lives will be changed. God, thank you for this day, for this time to come here and worship and express our joy to you. God, challenge us, God, when we leave to do the same for others. God, you're amazing. I want to thank you once again for this day. I pray, God, for every family that is here. I pray for their Christmas season, their time with their families, and their time with their friends. God, I pray, God, that we would experience it in this intense happiness, God, this intense joy, and God, that we would learn to live this out in our lives every single day. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. Can we praise him this morning? Amen.